and depression, how these are tactics of our enemy to get us to do what? Stop our pursuit of the Lord and stop making progress. It's also used to keep you from ever starting to make progress. And in John chapter 8, I believe it's verse 32. It's verse 31 and 32. And Jesus is speaking. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I know why you're quiet, because you know that verse. Why would Jesus say that you will know the truth and that truth will set you free? Why would Jesus say that? In other words, what do you or I or anybody need to be set free from? What would we need to be set free from? Why would Jesus say that? We can also say it this way, really, and do no harm to the scripture. If we don't know the truth, we won't be set free. In other words, if we don't know truth, the truth, we will be kept in bondage. In other words, truth equals freedom. Non-truth equals bondage. So Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth, and the truth is not a concept or just a doctrine, but it's a person. Jesus is the truth. But he wouldn't have said that the truth will set you free if we didn't need freedom. Right? So something is holding people in bondage, whether you're a Christian or not. Okay, let me just make it plain. Any area in our life that we are not living according to truth is keeping us in bondage, Christian or not. In other words, anything that is not truth is a stronghold in our life. Whenever in our life that we are not living according to the truth of the Word of God, in that area, to that degree, we are held captive and bound to a stronghold. Now let me back up for just a minute. Everything in our existence, in our life, God has a twofold main purpose for all men in all places at all times. The first purpose, or the first part of the two-part-fold purpose, is that all men come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That none would perish. That every man, woman, boy, child would come into the born-again experience and receive that brand new spirit that's created in the image of Christ Jesus, birthed into our hearts. That's the first part. The second purpose is that once we have become born again, is that we would conform to the image of his Son. We would actually become Christ-like in character. Strongholds in our life are for the purpose of hindering both of those two things. And that's it. To keep people in a state of belief, false belief, that they don't need God, they don't need to be born again. And the second one is, once we are born again, to keep us in a place from ever attaining Christ-likeness. The devil's not as scared of you or me, but he is as scared of Christ. And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that he fears the most. And he will do whatever he can to keep you and I from attaining what God has already spoken over us in our destiny, and that's to become like Christ. You know, there are many Christians that don't even believe that's possible until we go to heaven. That in itself is a stronghold. Our main focus, once we become a Christian, is Jesus Christ. Our main focus is not spiritual warfare, and it's not the kingdom of darkness. Our main focus is Christ Jesus and becoming like him. Knowing him. Developing an intimate and a personal relationship with him. Once we stray from that, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? We are talking about these things, oppression, depression, discouragement, to identify some of these things in our lives. And then we're going to learn, and I'm going to talk about that today before we go, some practical things we can do in our life to get rid of them and to destroy them, so they no longer have a foothold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll begin with verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," or in the natural, we live in this natural existence on this natural earth. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the natural." Now, this is hugely important. You know, there are lots of Christians and lots of people in churches today that don't understand war at all. Don't understand that we are in a war. Matter of fact, they don't even like when we talk about war or battling or fighting, because they don't understand it. But it's all over the Bible. The Old Testament's full of war. Matter of fact, the Lord God himself calls himself the Lord of hosts more than any other term, which means captain of an army. And we better, especially in these days and times that we live in, we better understand what it means to war. Let me just take a second here, because sometimes I think we get real misconception about what it means to war. And I'm going to talk about it in some more detail today and the upcoming weeks of what it means to war. Because I don't know what concept you get in your mind when you hear the word war, especially in the context of being a Christian. But a war, when we're talking about warring or doing spiritual warfare, especially in charismatic circles, when you talk about spiritual warfare, the main emphasis is praying in tongues and praying loud and praying these things. And that's a part of spiritual warfare, but that isn't all of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare can look a little different from time to time. Number one, is and can be verbal. Our prayers can be warfare, declaration, legislation, yes, praying in the Spirit. That is and can be warfare, but that's not all of what warfare is. Because really, warfare is aligning what we're saying with our actions. Warfare is also obedient behavior, obedient actions to the Lord. Let's not ever forget this. The greatest victory that was ever accomplished in all of humanity and all of existence was won without a word. And that was Jesus Christ on the cross. That was spiritual warfare, by him being obedient to go to the cross. Amen. If it was verbal only, then he certainly would have done that. He would have just spoken. And I believe personally one of the reasons why we stay stuck in strongholds, and I'll define a stronghold here in a minute, that we stay stuck in patterns and habits and strongholds over our life week in and week out, year in and year out, is because we've learned to at least some degree how to do it verbally. But what we haven't done is to take what we have spoken and also now begin to act differently. A stronghold is nothing more than this. It is a pattern of thought or attitude that does not align itself with the truth of the Word of God. Anything that is not aligned, that's why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Because when we're living a lie, when we're living deception, when we're living anything in any area of our life that does not agree with truth of the Word of God, we have now given access to a stronghold in our life. You guys are really quiet. A stronghold, again, exists for two reasons. One, to keep people from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And two, once you have come to that knowledge, to keep you from attaining Christ-likeness. That's it. For those two purposes. A stronghold in Scripture, there are two types of strongholds. It is a place for us that provides us protection from the enemy, and it was provided by God, and it's legal. It's legal. The other type, which we're going to talk more about today, is a place for the devil and the demonic realm that is protection for them against us. And this might shock some of you, but it is also legal and given to them by God. Lots of people say, why didn't God just destroy Satan and all the demons? Let's go back to verse 3 of chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Which means we do war. We are in a war. I think our deception and our ignorance to this is one reason why we are we lose so often. Why are we defeated? That's the word I was looking for. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh or of the natural abilities. What does that mean? What are some weapons in the natural? Let's just take God out of the picture in the spiritual for just a minute. What are some weapons in the natural that people fight? Oppression, depression, discouragement, defeat, all of these things. What are some weapons? You can go ahead and tell me. Well, a weapon that we fight against them. What's that? Medication, drugs, absolutely. Yeah. Natural weapons that we fight, yes. Exactly. We can go shopping. Exactly. All the things we throw ourselves into. We do counseling, we do seminars, we do worldly wisdom and understanding and knowledge and learning all of these behaviors. Learned behaviors and self-will, medication, alcohol. We do all of these things. This is weapons that we use in the natural realm to try to confront spiritual problems. Yeah, that's a good one. Go to church on Sunday hoping that in itself is enough to fight it. I like that. That's good. And we wonder why we don't have much success, although we find temporary relief from time to time. Look, Jesus said something very important, and it's a principle. It's not He said, when a demon spirit goes out of a man, it seeks waterless places, seeking rest. Finding none, it returns with seven more wicked spirits than itself back to where it left. We cannot fight spiritual issues in the natural. We will never win. We will never have victory. Come on, we need to understand this. And so often the church is stuck into just praying or just being prayed for or going to this conference and that thing and this thing and that thing and saying all of the right stuff. And that's only part of the process. When we become born again, the Bible says our spirits become brand new. But then there's a responsibility on our part. And it's Romans 12:1, and it's to renew our mind. Strongholds are thought patterns and attitudes that we have in our mind that are not truth, but we believe they are. How did Satan, how did Lucifer, the serpent, get Eve to disobey? With thoughts. With thoughts. He twisted God's word just enough to get her to believe something that wasn't true, and then she acted on it. And when we believe what is not truth and then we begin to act on it, we are allowing, we are erecting a stronghold, and a stronghold is a legal, it's legal. God gave demons legal access by the strongholds we erect. I'm going to prove that to you. In Genesis chapter 3, when after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, a curse was the result. When God spoke to the serpent, Satan, Lucifer, what did he say was his legal place of rest and food? He gave him legal food to eat, which was the dust. Do you remember this? We are created out of dust. Our bodies are not evil. God created them to be good. But they are a type of, it's an illustration of the carnal nature of man, the fallen nature of man. And we call it the flesh. That is the whole demonic realm's legal, given by God, to feed on. In Jude 6, it says there that Satan, all of the demons, live in a particular place that was given by God. Does anybody know where that is? It's darkness. It's darkness. They have a legal right by God to occupy, to live, and to exist in the realm of darkness. Not just when the sun goes down, not natural darkness. Darkness there typifies an example of everything that is not true or isn't in the light. So those hidden things that we have in our heart that we're ashamed of, guilty of, and we've never confessed any of these things, we haven't brought anything to light, and we allow them to exist in darkness, have actually become a stronghold in our life. And demons have a legal access to that place of darkness. When we act in the flesh, in our carnal nature, according to our carnal nature, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh. When we act like that, we are giving them, literally giving them food to feed on, which is also strongholds and access to them in our life. This is why it is so, I mean, you know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard pastors, preachers, parents maybe saying, read your Bible. It's so important to read your Bible. It's so important to go to church and get under people that are anointed to preach and to teach and to hear from God and to speak forth and open up the scriptures to you, because that is truth. And we need to have truth, because the more truth we get in us, the more we're dispelling darkness, the more we are opening our hearts up to the Lord and not allowing those things to hide that are in there, the more we are allowing access of the Holy Spirit and light and dispelling darkness. So we don't give any room for any strongholds in our life. Strongholds, spiritual strongholds by the devil, are thought patterns again. We get thought patterns from our family. We get them from church. We get them from listening to people out in the world, and we form beliefs and thoughts. You know, every one of us, there's not that many people in this room today, but every one of us believe differently on different things. Even when it comes about the Bible. And it's so important that we renew our minds. Why? So we can start thinking like God thinks. We can get the truth of the Word of God in us. But not just so we can start thinking, but so we can start acting like Jesus. Acting like God says to. And what we're doing, we're actually blocking out the enemy. The greatest stronghold that God gives us is Christ-likeness. That's the greatest stronghold that we will ever have, is to be like Christ. You remember what Jesus said? The ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing. In the temptation in the wilderness, why was he not able to get Jesus tripped up? Because Jesus knew the truth. He knew his Father. He knew who he was. He recognized deception and a lie. And I believe that Satan didn't just come to him in his goatee and pitchfork and a red cape and said, "Hey, Jesus, I want to tempt you." I believe he came just like us. He came with thoughts. He came with thoughts. Excuse me, I need a drink. A stronghold, again, is a dwelling place for evil to have legal access in our life. I don't know about you, but that, it doesn't frighten me. It disgusts me. That I, me, allow that in my life. I want to read this passage one more time, 2 Corinthians 10:3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but what? They are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." Has that confused anybody before? I don't know about you, but for years, that particular part of this verse always confused me. What do you mean we're ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete? Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, when your obedience is complete, when you start obeying, then we can come in and punish disobedience. Doesn't God say this, that first judgment begins with the household of God? He judges and cleans up his household before he does what? Brings judgment to the world. God is actually waiting for us, for our obedience to become complete before he can judge evil in the world. I thought that was good, by the way. I want to give you, just to help, how many of you have seen a war movie? Any war movie, just once? Any of them? Okay, I figured we'd probably be fairly unanimous on that. Anybody been in the military besides me? You ever sit in a foxhole or something kind of bunker-like thing? I sat in a really wet one time, all night long. But anyway, in a movie, when you have opposing sides and you have an enemy in a war, have you ever seen, if you've never been in the military, have you ever seen maybe men sitting in a foxhole or sitting in some kind of bunker? Or hiding in a building, or hiding in the woods, or all camouflaged up, and they're hiding. You ever seen that? They're hiding to do what? To deceive, to be sneaky against their enemy so they can launch attack on their enemy, right? And have you ever seen the other side when they're approaching a village or approaching that they're looking for these bunkers, foxholes, buildings where these men are hiding? They're looking for what? Strongholds. Because they know if they can blow up the stronghold, it will expose the enemy so they can wipe them out. Very much the same way in the spiritual. We want to expose strongholds because if we can remove strongholds from our life, then we are removing access by the demonic realm from our life. Can't kill them and obliterate them like you can in a natural army, but we can remove them from having access and influence in our life. Strongholds rule churches, communities, cities. You know there's a spiritual stronghold in this city that wants to rule and reign it. There are spiritual strongholds in families and in bloodlines. There are spiritual strongholds, and let's just admit this. Every one of us, including myself, has one to some degree. There are strongholds over this nation. There are strongholds over certain nations. You can just look at the nation and just say, you know what, there's something besides God ruling that. That has influence and has access there to wreak havoc. Okay, before we leave, let me go through this passage here. Because in verse 5 it says, we are destroying speculations. First of all, it says, let me back up to verse 4, I'm sorry. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, they're not natural, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That word fortress means stronghold. A stronghold, again, is a place of spiritual encampment for Satan and his demons to hide and be protected. From this stronghold, all sort of demonic activity is launched against us. We are destroying speculations. What's a speculation? A speculation is human reasoning. It's what seems good. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was an example of this. We are not to live, this might stun a couple people, we're not to live by what is right or what is wrong. Because right and wrong is too subjective. What's right for you may be wrong for me. What's right for you may be even against what the Word of God says. Too often we are shaped and conformed and molded by our family and by our culture and what's culturally acceptable than what is godly acceptable. We are to be conformed. Somebody's in really big trouble. Whose phone is this? I figured it was yours. Here, can you come and get it? Because it's vibrating on my thing here. Come here. Yeah. Yeah, you're backstroking now. Speculations, human reasoning. What seems good, what seems right, what seems wrong. Yeah, common sense type of things. Jesus said this, we are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not what you think is right or what you think is wrong. But we are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Which means what? We need to know what comes out of the mouth of God. You know, there's so many strongholds, you know, with us even as Christians. You know, some Christians really believe, and this is a stronghold, they believe it's okay to lie. They lie to themselves, they lie to their spouses, they lie to other people, they lie to their bosses. Some Christians believe it's okay to cheat. They cheat the government, they cheat their boss. They cheat other Christians, they cheat other people. They're so used to cheating that they're so deceived into believing that that is okay, it's just they don't even recognize it anymore. And that's a stronghold by the enemy that has been encamped there. And what does he want to do? He wants to hide, to be deceptive, so you don't think it is him working and that it's really okay. Deception is so, so horribly deceptive. It's very subtle, very subtle. Here's a big area of there's so many strongholds, and we're not going to take time to list everything, but I believe a big one is, and this was with Eve in the garden, and the enemy knows this because it works so well with us as Christians especially, and that is this: to get whatever need you have, whatever desire you have, to get you to get it by a means that God never prescribed. With Eve, you eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. You'll get wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Did God want any of those things for us? Absolutely, but not that way. Wealth. The needs that we have. There's so many things that the temptation and the pressure is to get those things in a way that God has not designed or created us for to get them. Okay, we talked about fortresses and speculations and every lofty thing. What's every lofty thing? A lofty thing is every human act or attitude that is raised to the level of divine truth. It actually forms an obstacle to the truth and keeps us in bondage. A lofty thing. We can even do that with Christianity, with stuff in the Bible. We can raise something up to the standard of divine truth and actually miss the truth. Jesus said that the Pharisees did this with the Bible. He said, you search the scriptures because you think in the scriptures is eternal life. They elevated this up so high that it blinded them and deceived them from even recognizing who this was about. And Jesus is standing in front of them and they didn't even recognize him. Fortresses, these fortresses that this Bible's talking about, that we're talking about this morning, these strongholds exist as thought patterns and human reasonings that govern individuals and churches, communities, and nations. They are strongholds or a place for evil and sinful activity that is defended within our sympathetic thoughts and attitudes that defend our pride and the self-life. You ever get in a Bible discussion and all of a sudden it becomes a Bible war? You're right, the other person's right, no, I'm right, you're right. Anybody? And you're both are wrong? Because of the way you're going about it. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, any human thought, plan, or scheme that comes to mind must forcibly become compliant to the truth. Our battlefield's right here. It's between our ears. It's in the thoughts. And that's why the Bible says that we must renew our minds. We've got to change the way we think. Because from the sin that has, and the curse that has come upon the world because of sin, it has left a stain, a corruption on our thought patterns. When we become born again, our spirits are brand new. That's why most of the church we'll talk about, we still have a flesh nature, and then we still have, when we get born again, we have a godly nature. And I don't believe that at all, because that God never created things with two different natures, ever. But that's how we have described it, that we're warring against the flesh, and it's the flesh against the spirit and all of these things, and there are scriptures that even lend towards that. But if we don't understand that we've got a brand new spirit on the inside of us, breathed into us by God, it's created after his image. However, it affects our mind, the way we think. It didn't change the way we think completely. He left that up to us. But he's given us everything we need, according to life and godliness, to retrain the way we think. He has actually left Satan in the demonic realm on this planet to help train us. He's got to leave enemies so we can learn war. Because he is more concerned about our character than our comfort. And for us to become Christ-like. And we've got to move out from just praying about things constantly and never acting on them. It's like, oh God, I want to give up smoking cigarettes. Pray for me. And then we run right out and grab the cigarette and put it in our mouth. God, I don't want to lie anymore. Please help me. Come to the front. We lay hands on you. Before you get to your seat, you're lying to somebody. The things that the Holy Spirit has already convicted of us about, it may not even have anything to do with lying. There may be another area of our life that the Holy Spirit's already been convicting and working on us, saying, I want to help you in this area, but we just keep doing it anyway. We ignore it. And we are allowing certain strongholds in our life. We're actually even erecting certain strongholds. Can I just say this too? This has been bothering me for a little while, and it didn't. I laughed and I thought it was fun, but it's been bothering me, and I have to say it, at least just to consider it. There are certain things, and I'm talking about hiding things, okay? This topic is about hiding certain things. Let's just say, for instance, Russ comes to me and we have a conversation, and there's some personal things, and he's sharing some things with me, and I with him. Now, we don't want to go and spread those things because we're thinking we're going to bring them to light. No, these are, let's just say he shares something with me he's never really said to anybody, and there's something that's bothering him. He just brought it to light. I don't need to go spread those things. Sometimes there's things that we just need to keep in confidence that way. But there are other times, and I think the balance, it goes over. And we say this and we laugh, and I'll just come up with something. Whatever's said in Haiti stays in Haiti. Whatever's said out here stays out here. I just want you to consider that if that's something you say or do. And I used to say it all the time, and I've been convicted of it, and that's why I'm bringing it. Because really what we're saying is, it's okay if we do it or say it here. It's our secret. And really what we're doing is we're hiding it. We are giving access to darkness. Here is a good rule to live by. If you don't want anybody to know what you said or what you did, don't say it and don't do it. Because I'm telling you, God loves us so much. He loves me so much. That if you do it for too long and you ignore his warnings and his conviction and his signs, he will expose it. Because he loves us so much. He steps it up. He first comes with conviction by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. How many of you know that is extremely easy to ignore? It really is. I've gotten convicted by kids, little kids. I've gotten convicted by billboard signs. I've gotten convicted by commercials before. I've been watching a movie and somebody would just say something and the Lord would use that to convict my heart. I mean, he uses so many different things. And he just keeps stepping it up. And one of you might come to me and have no idea what I'm wrestling with or what sin I'm hiding, and you say something, I'm like, oh my God, you feel like you've just been exposed. The Lord just told them what was wrong, and they came, and they have no idea. I get it all the time. People after a service, they'll come to me and say, man, I felt like you were just talking straight to me. That's the Holy Spirit. He knows, and he doesn't need to share it with all of us. He's really good to do that by himself. But you see some of these national preachers and things like that, and they've hidden things for years, well, all of a sudden it gets exposed. And that's because God loves us. He doesn't want us condemned along with the world. And he has to judge sin if we continue to do it and we continue to have habits and stuff like that. And so, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be embarrassed publicly. That enough is a fear, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. One last scripture, it's 1 Peter 1:22. I'm just going to quote it. It says this, obedience to the truth purifies your soul. Did you know that was in there? It doesn't say, don't throw rotten eggs. It doesn't say, have somebody lay hands on you and pray, and that purifies your soul. It says obedience to the truth has a purification process to your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. It purifies that and brings it in alignment with the way God thinks and behaves and acts. And it says in that same verse, it says the outcome of that is a sincere love for the brethren. That's how you can always know if you're obeying truth. Your love quotient, what's the word I want to say? Somebody help me. Love level. How about that? Your love level increases. Because it's really all about love anyway. It's about God's love, his love for us, our love for him. When we're obeying truth, it's because the motivation ought to be out of a love for him, not a fear. I mean, if it's fear only, praise God. Okay, we can start there, but it not ought to be and stay in fear. It ought to be because we love him. And we want to do to please him as he does for us. And if I'm obeying truth, the more truth I obey, the more my love is growing towards people and towards God. And that's always, I believe God put that in there to always show and prove to us if we're really obeying. Because, you know, we can be deceived whether we're thinking we're obeying truth or not. I don't know how many Christians over since I've been a Christian. Oh, I've got a deep walk with the Lord. Oh, I love the God. Oh, God's speaking to me, and I am obeying truth. Well, why do you not like people? Well, why are you holding unforgiveness and bitterness, and you're bitter towards people? There's no balance there. See, it doesn't balance out. It's because if we are obeying truth, not that we're perfect, but we're loving more, see, and that's where God wants us. Praise the Lord. How can we do, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. This is a huge topic, and it's hard to do in 45 minutes, 44 and a half, by the way, to get all of this across. But this is the main point today. We've got to identify what strongholds are in our life and their thought patterns of thinking. Let me just throw this one out. Because there's so many strongholds in the church. There's a stronghold of the grace message that's perverted, that keeps people in bondage. There is a message that's going on out there that once you become a Christian and you are born again, you're saved for all of eternity, and any sin you commit, you don't have to repent from. There's that message that's out there, and that's a huge stronghold. And people are believing this stuff. Why? Because it tickles the ears. It makes them feel good. It relieves them of responsibility. Well, number one, a covenant relationship, there's responsibilities on both parts. And if we're going to enjoy the fruit of covenant relationship, then we have to live up to our responsibility of that covenant, just like a marriage. You know, if you're married and you just come and go and you be with whoever you want to be with and do whatever you want, I mean, no, that isn't going to last very long. And so there's lots of strongholds in the way we think, and that's what we've got to get into the Word. We've got to know what He's saying. And again, it's not all about just spiritual warfare. But it's about, because warfare takes on many things. We can be speaking to things, but let me just tell you something. And I've said this twice at least so far this morning. If we're just praying and we're just speaking to things in our life, over our life, or for our friends, and they or us aren't changing our behavior, you're going to stay there. You're going to stay there. Have you ever seen people that got healed and set free and delivered and lost it? When a spirit goes out of a man, it seeks rest, goes through waterless places, finding none, it comes back to its house. When it arrives at its house and it sees that it has been clean and swept but unoccupied, it brings in seven more and comes. That's a principle. Why? They were genuinely set free, healed, delivered, restored, but they didn't change the way they think nor the way they act. And here they are. A year later, 5 years later, still dealing with the same stronghold. Because it doesn't come by prayer only, legislation and declaration only. We've got to change the way we think. Because why? The way we think is how we act. That's why changing the way we think is so important. Would you please stand? Praise the Lord. God, You are so good. You've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And God, we are exposing these strongholds because we're going to tear these strongholds down, these thoughts, these patterns of a thinking in our minds, these attitudes that we have. We're going to destroy them, Lord. We are not going to give any room for the enemy in our life, in our church, the church, in this city, in Jesus' mighty name. We're not going to allow them to do it in our families any longer, God. We're destroying their hiding places, and they must come out into the light, and we know they don't like light. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord. We give You glory. We praise You, Lord. Now, if that's you, if maybe the Lord, you were just sitting here and the Lord just identified some strongholds in your heart and your mind today, I'm just going to ask you to take a moment. If you would like for me to pray with you, for you, I would love to do that, but just take a moment and just confess those things before the Lord. Just commune with the Lord on those things. Bring it to light. Hallelujah. If you would like for me to pray with you before you leave, you can please come up forward. If not, whenever you're done, have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.